Welcome to Retail Done Right. I'm Christine Gonzalez-Wertz.
And I'm Jeff Fisher. Christine, do you want to introduce the topic today?
Nope, I trust you.
Oh, thank you. That's good, because in this era, trust is harder to come by and more easily lost, complicated by a whole slate of factors, only some of which a retailer can control. Today, we're exploring the trust customers put in their retailers and how retailers continue to earn it. Christine, who's on your list of most trusted retailers?
Oh, that's actually easy. Whole Foods, because they clean out most of the bad ingredients in food, so I don't worry as much. And then here's an interesting one, Sherwin-Williams, because even as they've had shortages and challenges, they've called other stores, they've told me honestly what they've been out of, they've called around to get paint recipes for me from other parts of Sherwin-Williams, and they've been really direct about what would come in and when. And Athleta, the Gap-owned leisure clothes retailer, they're pretty darn consistent in terms of the price being the price being the price. When it goes on sale, it's actually really on sale. It's not like it's this waveform of on sale or not on sale. You know, you can't really game them waiting for a sale. Unless, of course, you're an extra small. And then you can game every clothing retailer. I'm not. So those are some of mine. But I asked my friend Lynn, and she offered up Costco. I talked to another friend of mine, Karen. She gave us Nordstrom. Her comment was, for their great customer service, I would trust Nordstrom because they always put the customer first. So someone else beat you to it, my dear.
Yeah, you're killing me here by going first because you've just listed the two top ones for me.
I know. My Canadian colleague, Ken, went with consistent sales. He said two come to mind. One was Home Hardware and the second was Hudson Bay Company, which is a very, very old, venerable retailer. He said, consistent quality, fair prices, excellent customer service when it comes to returns. Often very good prices on sale campaigns.
I'm going to add Target as well. I think that they're very consistent.
How would you define that mechanism of trust? And how do you work through what was important? And one of the more interesting things I said that it's not just about the value you get, it's about the organizational values. And if that company were a person, would you shake their hand?
I think that's excellent. It's a very, very good benchmark. And it's difficult.
It's not too anthropomorphic.
No, but it gets to the heart of it. It gets to the essence of what we're talking about. When you sent me the Edelman Trust Barometer, it was a little hard to swallow. Trust in the world's two biggest economies, the US and China, was on the decline, and trust in information sources was at a record low, along with governments and media. Unfortunate, yet not surprising. Companies were the highest scoring at 61 out of 100. Even that's not stellar. And only business is seen as both competent and ethical? Wow. When they said a seismic shift in values, they meant it. So it begs a question. What helps create a trusted relationship between the customer and the retailer? I think this goes well beyond loyalty and any points program. It's even more than a net promoter score, though that is important. So on today's podcast, we're going to try to tease apart retailer trust a bit. Peel back the petals on the rose and hope it still smells as sweet.
Aw. Well, let me throw this out at you. One of the other pieces from the Edelman Trust Barometer was this notion that CEOs must lead on societal issues. 86% of people agreed that with the statement, I expect CEOs to publicly speak out on one or more of the societal issues, whether it's pandemic, whether it's the job automation impact or AI or local community issues. And then, as if that wasn't enough, CEOs are expected to step in when the government does not fix societal problems at 68%. So you've got well over 2/3 and close to 9 out of 10 people expecting companies to participate in ways that their boards and their shareholders aren't necessarily thinking are the most valuable things for them to do. While you're looking at the last 24 months, we got some good examples. We got some bad examples. We've talked about Brandy Melville. I'm not going to bring them up again. I want to go back to Lynn's example of Costco for a second. And Craig Jelinek puts his people first so they can put their customers first. So here are three principles that he employs that give us a really good sense of this. Treating employees fairly. And Costco is one of those hallmarks of high wages and benefits. They expect their people to work hard and be dedicated, but they have industry-leading wages and they have stocks, they have life insurance. And while Costco focuses on low overhead, it is not coming out of employee pay. And I think our friends Lou and Jackie would say that is a really important part. And at the same time, Craig, and I don't know him, so I shouldn't call him Craig, but I feel like this is just such a person you would like. He leads with respect, because if you treat your employees with respect, good things are going to happen to you. It's a really good thing because it allows you to retain happy employees, which starts a culture and an environment where people expect to be respected and valued, and they carry that to customers. And then the last one here is that he practices empathy, because he's been in retail. His entire career was spent in grocery stores. He's had numerous positions in Costco. He can connect with them and build personal relationships from the cashiers to the managers. Treating people fairly, leading with respect, practicing empathy. That's the basis for trust. Do you remember when we built the new Sprint store and we moved phone repair out in the open?
I do.
I thought that that was one of those things that was really special, because you're going to give your phone to somebody and you have no idea what happens back there. So I had to go to a micro center to have something repaired the other day, and they did the same thing. They pulled the parts from the shelves. You saw them do that and you saw what went in, and there were no surprises. You really have a trust for the technician. You know, you don't know about the quality of the technician at that point. I think I had a great technician, but at least you don't have a surprise on what it takes to fix it, and you see that process unfold.
Sprint was not high on trust at that time, Christine, to say the least. This simple idea to take the handset repair out of the back room and incorporate it into the experience, into the front of the house, was transformative. It moved the needle for us. I'm going to jump around for a second because you mentioned Costco as well, and that is a great example of a retailer that I trust as well. My brother worked for Costco for many years, and I can tell you this, it's true in relationship to how they have treated him. I've also been fortunate to work for some great brands. And when you know there is trust there, you take this very seriously in your approach. Lego, a perfect example. Such a great product, such a great brand. Creating the first Lego brand store was an incredible experience. And that physical store had to represent the brand. Kids first. Acknowledge and welcome the child first. Make sure everything was safe, well made. Look at the store through the eyes of the child, be at their level, offer things never offered before. For instance, pick a brick, the first time you could buy individual bricks in a store. That the attention is heightened because you know that this brand is loved and trusted. And it's not enough to be a love brand anymore, as I think I'm foreshadowing. But I'm going to bring us back now to today, and let me surprise you and mention an airline. Yes, I'm going to actually go there. Delta. The last couple times they have welcomed me by name and thanked me for my business. I've lost almost all of my status, so I know that they're not saying this because of my status. But in comparison, the one time I tried to fly American recently, and I live in Phoenix, which is a hub for American, they canceled my flight just before I was about to board. Well, you know I'm flying Delta.
Yeah, I absolutely understand. And I've had that experience on Delta recently. I think that a lot of people have questions about what trust means. So when I went to talk to friends of mine, one of them came back right away and said, when you say trust, what does that mean exactly? Trust them for what? Product availability, returns, product quality, all of the above? Or are you talking about something with deeper meaning? And I thought that was interesting. She brought up HomeGoods and TJ Maxx and said that after our conversation about the checkout experience, I found that that wasn't something that bothered her. And she felt that she was greeted at the register and that was a fine experience for her. But one of the more interesting things that came up, and we haven't talked about them, I'm surprised, was Trader Joe's. A friend of mine who lives in the Netherlands now brought up Trader Joe's, and he said there were a couple of things that were worthwhile to him. He said, to do the right thing for me is very important. And he had said it used to be Bloomingdale's personal shopping service, but now it's got to be more. Like, do you treat your suppliers well? No sweatshops. Do I trust you to be sustainable? Do I trust you to see me as more than wallet share? And he said, that's not reasonable. Do you have a memory of me that you don't have to ask me the same question twice? He said, so how do you look at food retailers, something that embraces farm to fork? And for non-food, how do you look at supply chain transparency? So I thought that those were interesting points because now we are outside the realm of just the customer experience in terms of what people want to evaluate.
I think what was eye-opening to me in the Edelman Trust Barometer report is we are well outside of the customer experience. The expectations of being involved in the culture is critical. The expectations of shaping the culture is critical. Like I said a moment ago, brand trust matters more than brand love.
I think so too. I'll give you another example. A colleague of mine, Amber Sundell, said, I think I trust most retailers as long as I understand the expectations. Is my experience different in an Old Navy than it is in a Lululemon? Yes, but I know and trust them both. And then she went on to say, but I have three places I don't trust. And this was interesting. Ashley Furniture, she said, I had an absolutely terrible experience with them. I didn't completely write them off until I uncovered that the same thing was happening to other people around her. She said that The Buckle was a high pressure sales approach to selling jeans and Lucky Brand tops. How can you trust that you were buying the right pair of something when you're under a pressure sales environment? And then she said, and this one was interesting, Abercrombie. She said they made this huge comeback and then I really loved shopping there. They made more sizes and I loved the jeans I was purchasing and they had good sales. But now they have so many influencers pushing their thing and the sales model change so that they have less cute things. And I feel that within a few months, they flipped on me and I don't trust that.
That's tough.
So the question is, how do you begin to get a new baseline out there? Speaking of broken brands, do you remember when JCPenney decided it wanted to try to be Apple?
Absolutely. Christine, it's interesting that you bring this up because it was just last week that I actually brought up this specific example. It was in the context of moving from a promotionally driven business or maybe even a coupon driven model to one of value, less games, less pricing games. But knowing your customer, supporting your customer, being upfront with your customer is so critical. It's understanding how they perceive of things that really matters. I think there were some great ideas there, but something definitely went wrong.
That goes back to Amber's point. You can love both, as she said, Lululemon and Old Navy, but you have to have your expectations built around what your experience is and what your interactions are with the brands and what they produce. So, clearly, we've covered a lot of ground, but I want to go back and talk about some of your work in terms of one client I know you're dealing with that has a runaway valuation. They have aspirations to go public and become a national chain, but they have a bit of a challenge, and I think it goes beyond their supply chain. I'm talking about cannabis and moving toward retail dispensaries. How do you create trust in a product you certainly can't try before you buy?
Well, we're talking about an industry that has at times been a bit sketchy in the past, and maybe a little bit of sketchiness still lingers. But I think that it's normalizing of the experience in a lot of respects. So you can't try before you buy, but we're going to let you see it. We're going to let you smell it in a very personal way. Plus, the ability to self-shop, I think, is really important. And this really goes back to a normalizing aspect, because there's so many elements of this industry that are not normal from a retail perspective. It's a boring word, but there's so much value in it in terms of really approaching this from a consumer perspective, understanding how different types of customers shop these categories of product and tailoring the experiences to support that. Keeping more approachable categories closer to the front of the store, example. And it's about breaking down some of the inherent and regulated boundaries to make you feel more welcome, to make the store itself feel more inviting, to make it feel, for lack of a better word, normal.
That is interesting. There's so much that can be a part of trust that we would expect to see not just CEOs, vice presidents, but even store managers take a greater role in what they're doing. We're going to talk about this in a future podcast, but I got a note from a manager from a CVS when I had responded to their survey. It was very interesting for him to say, I want you to continue to talk to me and tell me about my store. Tell me your observations. That really is what's going to make this happen. It's very much around direct communication, and it's very much around being willing to respond to customer questions.
It's about listening too, right? It's about the fact that you've connected with someone that really cares, that is listening to you, that is aware of maybe some challenges or issues, labor market, etc., but really wanted to connect with you on a personal level. That says a lot. Even when we started talking about this topic, and I started to talk to people as well, I immediately had to really think about brands and retailers that I trust. I think data breaches are one thing, which according to Morning Consult, this is the highest of importance on, quote, relates to reliability. How many online account tracking notifications have you received over the last year? Does a retailer lose my trust if they've been breached? Maybe, but maybe not, because that's really getting complicated. Now, of course, you would have every expectation that they're going to take my data extremely seriously.
That is an interesting thought process, because I'm not sure. I do expect people to treat my data with respect, but I'm not necessarily sure that it's as easily done as it seems.
I'm in the same camp as you on that. I think it's probably fairly beyond complicated at this point, and there's a lot of people coming after it.
And the other side of that is, I think that more retailers that are offering you options that disintermediate them from the data, things like using PayPal, can have some advantages that allow you to keep yourself at arm's reach from some retail databases. And I think that companies that communicate around these sorts of retail data and what data they capture is going to be important. You're seeing a lot of people right now actually change their cookies because you have all of this note that comes up front online about what data you collect. While that hasn't translated to the store yet, it will. We will start to see people in store saying, what kinds of data can we use from you as part of the face-to-face process as well?
Absolutely. Well, according to the Morning Consult, the State of Consumer Trust report, data privacy is very high in terms of opportunities to win trust. They also say there's two others addressing the fine print, really being transparent, and employee treatment. We've referenced some really great examples, especially in the context of Costco. That plays really well into trust.
Okay, let me ask you this. So I know that you're currently working with a Midwestern retailer on some of their store processes. How do you talk to them about how they build and maximize trust with their customers? How do you have that conversation? How do you open that conversation up?
The conversation that I have is really looking holistically at the store experience and really looking at it from the point of view of the customer. So in terms of the physical experience and the visual merchandising, how can the store be as open, friendly, inviting, welcoming, and in many respects, transparent as possible in presenting great collections, great products, a significant variety of products, and understanding that there's a promotional aspect to the business. So how do we incorporate strong visual merchandising, strong in-store messaging, and strong promotional signage so it's clear to the customer? That's a big filter for me. That's a big, important aspect in terms of how I look at the store. And then really, it's the interaction and the understanding that I want to gain so the store can actually execute that in a really easy and an efficient way. Because the staff at the store are there to really interact with the customer. And that's where I think to your earlier point about creating those connections, those go so far with being able to trust and listen and have the dialogue and create the relationship with the customer.
That's important. And whether your store consistently brings that message forward is really very important. It's not just the marketing. It's not just the signage. It's not just the education of your people. It's not just social media. It's the impact of bringing all of these things together consistently. It's not an easy task. You continually have to ask if your people are up to it, if you've helped them figure out how to effectively learn and modify their own mental models, how you actually help them set expectations and work to understand where the customer is at and to be able to ask the right questions of customers.
Well, I think it goes to employee treatment. It's about how you treat and interact and care for your staff, knowing that they are the front line in physical stores in particular. They're the front line and the direct point of communication with the customer. Happy employees can oftentimes result in happy customers. But I think according to the Edelman report, it's important to note that, as we said earlier, brand trust matters more than love, especially when it comes to customers deciding which brands to buy or use. Let me summarize. Trust drives growth. We're talking about trust across your products and your brand. You need to have your pulse on the culture and you need to act. And as the Edelman Trust Barometer report says, culture is critical to trust. Today's cultural landscape is broader than pop influence. It is also shaped by purpose and society and seismic value shifts. Should we take it home, Christine?
Absolutely.
We're in the era of the customer channel. It's time to change our approach and business practices to deliver what the customer wants. This is Retail Done Right. Thank you for joining our conversation. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically any podcast platform. And please connect with Christine and me on LinkedIn. We love hearing from you, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. And as usual, we will throw the links to both of these core articles that we mentioned, but a couple of others and some of the feedback we received from Amber and Ken and Mark and Lynn and my friend Deborah in the notes. So you can get a sense of what we're doing, and the show notes are always available on our website, retaildoneright.net. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we look forward to hearing from you. Hey, Jeff.
Should we go shopping, Christine?
Oh, shoot. You beat me to it. Absolutely. Bye, all.